Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host of The Creative Alchemist. And we are the business show that comes to you every Thursday live at 7 p.m. And we talk to you about everything business. We talk to you from things regarding leadership, finance. We've had guests who have talked about funding your company and making sure you're profitable, organizational systems, project management, and we've even had several conversations about your health, especially in this time of a global pandemic. So we've covered topics that supported the pandemic, what we call the new year that started sometime last year, about a year ago. And we've talked to you about things that support you in maintaining your business, transferring skills in an uncertain economy. And we continue to provide very high-quality guests who are experts in their field. And tonight will be no different. And we invite you to call into the show. We have a phone number if you would like to engage our guest. Our phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. Before I go on and we introduce our guest, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Lori. Let them know you are here.
So hello, everyone, and we have another episode of Creative Alchemist. This is Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design. And before we get to tonight's guest, of course, we'll just keep passing the torch. I just want to remind everyone that fundraising is starting in 20 days. And it's for my campaign for Woman of the Year with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. So everyone get ready, open your checkbooks, open your pocketbooks, open your heart, and let's fight cancer together. So tonight's guest is none other than, I hope I pronounced your last name right, Chris Tinkuli, who is definitely entrepreneur extraordinaire. He has turned one business into a very different business, and he actually has a product that's out on the market, and we're going to talk about what's more organic than a coffee sweetener, and it's called relationships. So, Chris, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and thank you for coming aboard tonight.
Thank you, Lauren Miller. I'm just kidding, Lori. It's Chanchuli. Chanchuli like a chanchula.
All right.
Chanchuli, close enough, like it's spelled. Thank you for that intro. And the product, the organic coffee sweetener, is no longer on the market currently after COVID and everything and sourcing, and it wasn't possible to continue. So it evolved into, like you said, organic relationships.
Yep. Very cool.
So where would you like me to begin, or what would you like me to say?
Well, let's tell everybody a little bit about yourself, how you started, where you're from, who you are.
Sure. My name is Chris Chanchuli. I spent 23 years in the fitness world. Went off to college in Long Island at Adelphi University, and I had the big aspirations and dreams of pursuing acting, theater, movies, film, commercials. I did that in high school and enjoyed it very much, and decided 2 weeks before my freshman year was over in college that this wasn't the direction I wanted to go in. I'd met a chiropractor who had cured an elbow injury that I had had for months, and it was really affecting me working out and anything physical. and the way that he was able to make me feel so much better in one treatment and then 100% better within three treatments, I said, that's what I want to be able to do, work with people through exercise to make them feel better. So pursued that at Adelphi, switched my majors to exercise physiology, and then continued on to grad school there. Decided to open my own gym after working at a gym for a little over a year. I opened my first gym when I was 22, and then from that point, built it up to about 600 members, and then merged it, sold it, collected a little bit of money to bring the members from my gym down the street to another gym, which then I helped to expand that to multiple locations, and really liked that business, liked working with people, liked being a trainer, had a lot of fun doing so. Then I wanted to just try something different. I started working with the New York Islanders with my graduate school program, the Adelphi, and started doing exercise testing and learning about working with elite athletes. And that was very a fun experience. It was fun to watch people who worked at such elite levels between the NHL, the NFL. I started working with some horse jockeys and worked in all areas of that. Then I met a celebrity and started working with some different celebrities to where I would travel. Every week I would travel to a different city or two, and that I did for a year, and it was just a bit much always being on the road. Ended up coming back, opening a one-on-one training studio and consulting with some one-on-one studios around Long Island, and decided that I liked that better. I liked the one-on-one. I liked working with people directly. I didn't like being in the big gym atmosphere anymore, and did that in one location for about 12 years. And then the pandemic came, and that shut everything down. And I'll rewind with I joined a networking organization in 2013, and a chiropractor friend of mine who belonged to this group told me I should come down and meet people who could help grow my business. And I said to him, why do I need other people? If you refer me your patients and I refer you my clients, like, why do I need other people? And he said, no, but it's good because it'll increase your business. So I went down, checked it out, and there was a guy named Todd Kagan, and he was the president of that group. And he was just so entertaining, funny. I saw him like performing in front of the room, and I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to do that in front of a group. And I saw the benefit. I joined, and it helped my business tremendously because of the referrals. Made some of my closest friends, got more involved with that organization, became president of it. We had 17 members when I became president, and then with great support, a great group, a great board, we grew it up to 83 people in about a three-year period of time. And then I decided that I had a different vision of what I believed networking is, what networking should be, and started Connects with just an idea. And the idea was to put the person before the profession, to not just use people for transactional leads, but instead to get to know someone as a person, as a friend, because Forbes magazine said last year that you are 4 to 6 times more likely to hire someone, service or product, based on the fact that you like them. And I believe that all along. I didn't need to see the research for that. Started it Connect a year and a half ago with an idea and a couple people coming down to a meeting, and that has now multiplied to 163 members in 7 states in the country. So that brings us to today.
Which is crazy, crazy awesome. And how do you, or what do you perceive the group to be different than other networking groups, like from how it's run?
From how it's run,
it's a million dollar question, right? What makes your service different?
The members. Without a doubt, it's the members. I never liked the idea that many – the way network marketing – you hear people throw the term networking around very loosely on LinkedIn, or a lot of people will take the stance that they are big into networking. And I've always looked at that as if I had told my wife when we started dating, I'm really into dating. And when she said, well, why don't we – become exclusive, and I said, well, I don't like to tie myself down to any one person. I like dating. I like playing the field. There would be an issue, and I would have an issue with commitment for whatever reason. Like, why would I not want to commit to the right person when I find them, to where I don't feel like I need to keep meeting more people? And I believe that when you find a certain group or a certain community, as we say, it connects, of people that are like-minded, who you have things in common with, I believe what Jim Rohn said many years ago, that like attracts like. So you are an average of the five people you spend the most time with. And in Connect, I think what took place, and it was out of my control, because you don't find Connects, Connects find you. And it speaks to you. And when people come to a meeting, when they hear how we do the meetings and the topics we cover and how much you reflect on your own life, people see that it's much more than a transactional networking group, but it's a community of friends that genuinely love coming together multiple times a week for all the events that we host and put on, so that they can just get away, escape, have people to laugh with, to talk to have things in common with. And I think what separates us is we don't judge or take people based on what they do. Whereas traditional networking groups will say, all right, we need these three categories filled. We need a mortgage person, a real estate agent, and a chiropractor. So once you have someone fill those seats, it's really irrelevant who fills the seat as long as you have it filled. To us, we don't have exclusivity of one person per category. We're a community of lots of people who do lots of things, and that's not how we identify. We identify as people first, and then once you get to know someone, do one-on-ones, you find out more about them, and then ultimately you find out what they do, and you're always going to be more likely to refer a friend than you are someone from a networking group.
Yeah, so it's a camaraderie, it's a connection. Go ahead, Ted, I hear you.
No, go ahead, keep going.
Keep going. So, yes, it is. It's an amazing connection. You know, I personally am part of it. We've had guests on here that have been, you know, from Connects from the group. And it's almost, it's intrinsic, if that makes sense. And it's one of the things that we talked about on the last show. It's the know you like, you trust you. People know they can depend on you. And the word of mouth speaks for itself. And you're not doing a service per se. You're just being there. You're just being you. So what started as a little bit of a germination of an idea has now become, you said seven countries, right?
Seven states.
Seven states. Has now become seven states,
yeah.
Which is crazy.
We don't have countries yet. Well, Laura, let me ask you. I mean, you're the perfect person to ask. What do I know? What did you like about it? What stood out or resonated with you to where you thought something about it was different than your experience with other groups?
I didn't feel a pressure to have to make up a referral or, you know, conjure up something. It was, you know, and I haven't been able to attend the events because I have, you know, an evening job that I do, and I'm on the road most of the day with clients. But it was, you know, the fact that there were events, the fact that I was communicating with people and not having to perform, so to speak. I didn't have to put like a hat on and say, oh, I'm somebody that I'm not. You know, so it makes a difference. It really made a difference. It's getting to know people in the, you know, in the meetings, even though it's Zoom, right? Because we all miss that personal contact. You're still asking questions that are about you and not about your business per se. What's your biggest mistake? What's your favorite radio show? What's your favorite music? What's your you know, what do you remember from when you were a kid? You know, so it's kind of, it's a personality.
Yeah, I think the timing of the pandemic also, it, I don't want to say worked out for us because I don't want to make light of the situation. Excuse me, light of the situation. But one of our facilitators, Jen Trepek, she said it today on the meeting that Kinex is the office water cooler when your meetings take place on Zoom. And that was such a brilliant way to break it down. And she's a brilliant facilitator because she comes up with things on the fly that just are really, really great and illustrate the point that sometimes I'm trying to make, but she said it better there. It's because in the last year, I guess a year as of today, not one to say happy anniversary to, but a year ago, our lives got up until a certain point, that point being a year ago, everyone would say my personal life and my professional life. Once the pandemic hit, your personal life and professional life became one because you could be on a Zoom call and then I would have my four-year-old daughter run out of the bathroom down the hallway naked, yelling, whatever, and here I'm on a call with someone over something important and I've got to pretend that that's not screaming in the background and I can make the person think that they're crazy. They just hear someone screaming and I act like it's, I thought it was on your end. And you, I know that I'm not the only person that's had someone walk by a camera, talking to you about something, or Sean, my little guy, buddy, Sean Rosenfeld, the number of times that he's had a question asked to him by his lovely wife, Casey, or one of the children come in the room. And it made me feel so good to know that I'm not the only one that has those moments of being embarrassed. So I think our professional life, I was interviewing a superintendent for a school last year during the worst part of the pandemic, like first 2 months, trying to like figure out what was going to happen with Port Washington schools in New York, Glastonbury school system in Connecticut. We had a couple superintendents on. And as I'm interviewing one of the superintendents, Sean said, can I ask you a question? And Sean doesn't speak up often to ask a question. And I was like, oh, this could be good. So I stopped talking for once. And Sean said, who sleeps in that crib back there? And I'm thinking, that's the question he asked. And the superintendent was like taken back by it because here we're talking about school safety and what they're doing for providing lunches to kids that receive free lunch and how are they getting the meals? And then Sean comes out with, who sleeps in that crib back there? And then that led to the superintendent talking about his grandchildren. And it was just so interesting to watch the shift in a personality over something that they kind of have to talk about because it's their job and pays the bills versus something someone wants to talk about because they have pride in their description, their explanation of whose it is, and to see him light up. So like Sean kind of tapped into something there and got to see how it's everyone. Everyone loves to talk about food, fun, and family.
I love to talk about food. Fun and
any of the three.
Second, but food is good.
Especially when you eat food with family.
Right,
and have fun.
Exactly. That is so true. That is so true. So you had some, I guess, fun stories, right, about getting your foot in the door back when, you know, you were doing the personal training in the gym. And one of the things that I remember, and of course I don't remember how you said it or what the exact words were, but you sent someone a shoe. Or a sneaker?
Yeah.
And, for me, that sticks out as part of not only, a great marketing gimmick, right, but who you are and how Kinex is. So would you mind sharing that with our listeners?
Yeah, I'll share that one. I've got one that I like. This is the one that I like better than that I think tops it. It's not as witty of a line, but it just shows – anything I've ever done, I've had, I wrote a book in 2013 when Hurricane Sandy hit and we were out of power for 2 weeks. My wife and I, no kids at the time, my wife, myself, and my dog came to my parents in Connecticut, and we were staying here for a couple weeks. I was bored out of my mind because I didn't have anything to do at that moment. So I went down to their basement and just started cleaning it. And as I started cleaning the basement, I pulled out old children's books, and I saw pictures of me when I was a kid, my brother, and I started reading my old children's books. And I said to myself, I want to write a children's book. And I ended up sitting down, and for about 3 days straight, I wrote about 60 poems. And they were all poems with rhythm and rhyming. I then had this idea that I wanted to publish it, but I wasn't sure, like a physical version or an ebook. I went on Amazon, and I found a book by a guy named Ali Hilly. I still remember. Ali Hilly, he's from like Australia or New Zealand. And it was How to Become Number One on Amazon. And I read the book after I was done writing all my poems, and I mastered how to do different meta tags and key search words when you're on Amazon. So I called the book The Wise Guy because my dad called me that when I was a kid, W-H-Y-Z, The Wise Guy. And I said, I need to illustrate this. So I spoke to some people in the United States, and they wanted an exorbitant amount of money to do it. And I was going to hire someone, and they just totally dropped the ball. So I found an overseas service and an agency. I ended up hiring, this is during the Arab Spring uprising in Egypt. And I found this girl who was an unbelievable illustrator. So I would draw stick figures and I would email them to her. And then she would draw the stick figure into actual cartoons. And then we'd go back and forth. And it took about 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, put it together, figured out the format by just researching it through other books that I downloaded on Amazon, put it up on Amazon. And for one weekend, the first weekend it was out in January, it was the number one downloaded book in the category of children's poems and limericks, because it's better to pick obscure if you're trying to rank high. And yes, it was a free giveaway when it did become number one, but I have screenshots to show number one when searched in that category. And people said to me, like, how'd you know how to do it? And I said, I had absolutely no idea how to do it. And they said, how'd you figure it out? And I said, I just got started. And when you get started in something, you get to a certain point where you can, if it's right at the beginning, it's easy to just turn back and say, screw it, I'm not going to do it, this is too hard. But if you get yourself far enough, fast enough, you look at it where I can either turn back, or it's like being on hold when you're waiting on hold trying to get through to an insurance company or to a credit card company. And after about 20 minutes, you think to yourself, I want to hang up. But I have 20 minutes of my life invested to sitting here and pacing around this room, so I'm not going to hang up now. So you wait another 5 minutes, you get through. But you almost hung up, and you wouldn't have gotten through to that call. So once I got halfway done with the first book, I said, you know what? It's almost done. Let me push through. I did it. And that's kind of how I've done everything. So, and I gave her a writing credit. And this is when females were not getting, they were very oppressed in Egypt. And she wrote me the most heartfelt letter thanking me for giving her credit, putting her name on the cover, putting her name on Amazon. And she wrote all about how no one's ever done anything like that for her. She then did some drawings of my wife and I, like really developed like a friendship over this. And it's kind of like how I'm rooted with Connects, where you don't need to have everything figured out. You just need to know someone who does. If you find the people that know how to do something, it saves you a hell of a lot of time learning how to do it by just asking someone. And I feel so many people are afraid in life to ask, can you help me? And so many people also refuse or are ignorant at times to not listen to the advice. That was me for the first 38, 39 years of my life, where I thought I knew it all, and anyone's advice, it didn't really apply. Oh, so the coffee sweetener, I wanted to, Amazon was my gig, I figured it out. So when I came up with Tra-La, it was an organic coffee sweetener that I found this vegetable, which people think is a fruit called the yacan. It's grown in South America and particularly Peru. And I started importing them, pressing them into a syrup, and it's called yacan syrup. And what I would do is I would add a natural flavor to it. So it was a French vanilla, hazelnut, or just the natural version, which had kind of like an apple-y type taste. And I wanted to put it to coffee because all my years working with clients, they would say, can I have coffee? And I'd say, yeah, it's fine. They'd say, what can I put in my coffee? And that was the common answer I was always asked. And there was all the different Stevia and Splenda. People use Sweet and Low and all these other products that think were a good choice. So I wanted to find something that could be put into coffee. And I thought this worked. I thought it was good. But I wanted to align with a coffee company to try to get it onto the market because I learned how difficult it is trying to educate consumers about a product and how expensive it can be. So I found that I Googled, all right, I went to Amazon and I said organic coffee and I searched it and this company Don Pablo came up and I look up Don Pablo, I Google it and it's the owner's a guy named Darren Burke. So I find him on LinkedIn. I start reading his bio and I see he's from Northampton, Massachusetts. And I grew up outside of Hartford, Connecticut, which wasn't very far from there. And my band played at a coffee bar in the town that he was from. So I thought that's my end. I'm going to talk to him about, and that's what I talk about in Connect, build rapport. So if I say a couple of common things, so I just get him on the phone. So I look up the number to Burke Brands, which was down in Miami, and huge facility. I mean, they're number one on Amazon, selling 3,000 units a day. And I wanted to get him on the phone, but you can't just call up and say, hi, can I speak to Darren, please? So I had to figure out how do I get through it. And I didn't want to lie. And so I just crafted my words to where I called the front desk and I said, hi, I was hoping that you could help me out. And they said, what do you need? And I said, I look like such an idiot. She said, can I help you, sir? I said, hi, I was supposed to get in touch with Mr. Burke this afternoon. I can't find his email address anywhere. And I just it's not going to be good. And not good to who? I was just saying things like acting flustered. And she said, I think I can help you out. And then she gives me his email address. So I'm like, thank you very much. And I just reached out with an email and I spoke like I knew him with all the confidence in the world. And I just said, dear Darren, my name's Chris Cianciulli. I recently learned that you're from Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm from that area too. Oh, and also we have something else in common. You sell coffee, I sell coffee sweetener. We should get together. So he responds within like an hour and a half. And he said, that would be great. Why don't we schedule a call? So we spoke the next day for about an hour and a half. We spoke the day after that for about 2 hours. And then I said, Darren, why don't we grab coffee or something? Now he's in Miami. And he said, sure. What are you doing on Sunday? I said, Sunday's great. What time? He's like, you want to come to our facility at like noon? I'm like, noon it is. So I hang up and I said to my wife, hey, I'm going to go meet with this company, Don Pablo. And she said, oh, where are they in the city? I said, no, they're in Miami. And she's like, Miami? I said, Miami. She's like, Florida? I said, do you know another Miami? She said, what are you doing? And I'm now booking a plane ticket. And she said, when are you leaving? I said, I have to be there for noon Sunday. So I'll leave for like 5 a.m. I'll get there 7, 8, gives me a little bit of time from the airport. So I flew down there, met with him. We spent about 4 or 5 hours together, making coffee, conversation, touring the facility. And then right before he left, he said, how can I help you? And I said, I don't know. And he's like, what did you come down? He didn't know I came down from New York. He thought I was in Florida. And he goes, wait, you flew down here? I go, yeah. And I go, can you give me a ride to the airport? Because we're cutting it close right now. So he said, absolutely. We get in the car. And as we're driving, he said, so how can I help you? And I said, I want to get my product out, but it's very hard to establish credibility. You have credibility. And he said, let me stop you there. Do you want to like bundle and sell some product together? I'm like, that would be amazing. And he's like, done. And I'm like that? He said, yeah. We are almost at the airport. And as we're pulling up to the terminal, I said, why does it say welcome to Sarasota or whatever airport it wasn't supposed to be? There's two airports from Miami, and whatever one I was supposed to go to, that's not the one we went to. So we're at the terminal, and then he said, uh-oh. And I was like, no, we can still make it. He goes, no, I was supposed to meet someone for a meeting late in like 30 minutes. So I said, do you want to go? I'll take an Uber from here. He goes, no, we got to talk. We'll figure out how we're going to package. So we made the most amazing time. I had the most amazing conversation getting to know this guy. And when I got to the airport, I get onto the plane and I start recapping. A week ago, I didn't know this guy. I didn't know this brand. I didn't have an outlet or way to get the product sold on Amazon where it would have any reputation or be able to get some notoriety. And here this guy, out of the goodness of his heart, Darren Burke from Don Pablo, offered to bundle. So he then sends me shipping labels, pays for all the shipping. I ship the product down to him. 2 weeks later, we start selling on Amazon. Within 48 hours, it was number one on Amazon, number one on Google, had like 120 reviews, just blew up overnight. And it was all because I called up that secretary and just said, I need to call Mr. Burke, and I seem to have lost his email. And that's just a chapter in the book of you never know unless you try.
Yeah, definitely never know unless you try, for sure.
Oh, for you sure. Said shoe store. Sorry, I sent a note to someone. I sent a letter to someone once, and I sent him a picture of a shoe, a photo, like an image, like a stock image of a shoe. And I said to them, "Hey, I hope you're having a great afternoon. Looks like I got 1 foot in the door. If you could put aside 30 minutes and allow me to get the other one in, we could have a great conversation about so and so." And they called me right away. It was hysterical, and they didn't end up buying the product, but they thought I was funny.
But then it got you in the door.
It got me in the door, but I guess that's the first step. Ha ha, no pun intended there.
Definitely, and that's the story I remember. Because, you know, as a business owner, it's so hard, and we always get stuck in our head, and we always have those little gremlins that are inside, and we go, oh, they're not going to take our call. Oh, they're not going to do, you know, oh, they're not going to answer me. Oh, they're too busy. Oh, you know, I'm not good enough, or whatever other gremlins. And, you know, as a business owner, you got to get rid of them, you know?
Well,
so
you probably know the answer. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know this answer. I often will say to people, but because of your background, you'll know this easily. I'll ask people, do you know what insecurity is? Ted, I'll ask you. Ted, do you know what insecurity is?
I would say insecurity is a conversation that you have with yourself about whether or not you can do something or cannot, or you belong somewhere or don't belong. It's just
so close. So I was like, he's going to hit it. So close. You gave me the alley-oop. It's the belief that you know or think you know what someone else is thinking. And so often we're insecure because we think someone's going to judge us or make fun of us. And at the end of the day, I've learned no one really cares what you do. And we make so many decisions based on, well, what are they going to think? Here's the answer. Not much. They're going to either scroll through it and go, wow, that's dumb, and keep scrolling, or, oh, that's interesting. But, like, when I was trying to get over insecurities about putting up videos, I mean, like, being in front of a camera, any of that, I'm not scared to do that, but something about putting it onto social media would intimidate me because I would think people are going to make fun of me. People are going to call me bald. People are going to say, I talk with a lisp. And then I thought, who are these people in my head that I keep imagining? And I could never put a face to the people. And I realize, who cares? They have no relevance of my life whatsoever. And Lord knows I've criticized enough people when scrolling through, and they're still doing really well. Some are ridiculously successful. And my thoughts didn't affect their business or the outcome of their life. So if mine don't affect theirs, other people's don't affect mine. And that got me over the hurdle to be like, screw it. If people aren't talking about me, that means I'm not doing anything. if people are talking about you, it means A, they're jealous because they wish it was them and they're mad that it's you. But then there are those that say, you know what? I'm going to reach out and ask that person. I reached out to Josh York. He's the founder of Gym Guys. They're the largest personal training company in the world. 300 franchises. Huge.
Wow.
We had Josh on a webinar for Connects 2-3 weeks ago. And he, I had him on my podcast, the My Mistakes podcast, and it's all about screw-ups that we make in business because we can relate more to each other because of our failures than we can our successes, because only a small percentage achieve success, whereas a much larger percentage hit failures. So I had Josh York on, and I said, so how was I so lucky to get you on? And he said, I do very few of these, but I wanted to do yours because you've reached out before and asked me questions. He said, so many people are afraid to ask. You reached out and asked, how did I do something? Because I saw how he grew his franchise, and I thought with Connects earlier on, over a year ago, I was thinking of going a certain direction, and I figured who better than to ask the number one? You could probably see a way that I follow a certain path, which is find who's number one and ask them, because anyone who is successful will always take time to tell you how they got there because they are genuinely surprised and interested that you asked and that you're willing to be open-minded to listen. And successful, accomplished people love to share their successes because they get to relive them again. Just so many people think they have everything figured out. I was there. And I speak to a lot of people that when you give advice or suggestions, it doesn't benefit me if I give a suggestion to someone. I'm trying to help benefit someone else. So if they don't take the advice, they'll like apologize. The only reason it sometimes gets under my skin is if there's only a certain number of hours in a day, that being 24, I just learned, then I hate knowing I just gave someone 30 minutes of my day to tell them ideas that they're just nodding their head and then say, yeah, I'm just going to stick with what I'm doing. And that's the only time that asking, but you become selective to who you share with. And that's why certain people on the way have shared so much with me, because I'll take notes, they see it, I'll implement something, I'll send it to them so they can see that I'm doing it. Because if they see that you're taking advice and using it, they're going to give you more. And that's what builds that rapport and trust to where I could call the head of Don Pablo Coffee right now, and he would answer any question that I have because he's such a great guy and we're friends. And that all started from just reaching out. Him, Josh York, tons of people.
So you're a master of creating strong, effective, and lasting relationships that perhaps people could say, if you were not in the room and people were talking about you, I would think that's one thing that a lot of people could say about you. Do you think that would be correct?
One thing they would say about me? Well, if you're counting curse words as one word, then yeah, maybe one, but no, probably a couple curse words. I honest to God, don't even know. I've been insecure about it, so we could relive that, and then Lori can help me get through my insecurities of what people would be saying in a room. But, yeah, someone will always have something to say about me, good or bad. No one's going to be like, it's okay.
Let's address that. So, you know, beliefs are just a conversation you have in your head, and either you know who the conversation is attached to, like a cousin, a teacher, a parent, or you don't know, but it's literally just a conversation, and some people actually can distinguish who the conversation is coming from, and a lot of times people don't, yet they, as you said, they end up believing in the conversation because it's just playing, like almost like a radio station you can't turn off. So very interesting. So you don't know what people would say. I'm going to guess I've had one 25-minute conversation with you, and now we've been here for a few, and I'm hearing things, and I would. It sounds as though you've developed a very keen sense of getting into another person's world and understanding it, and people feeling very comfortable with you, and you've figured out how to business model? Because it sounds like that's what you've done with Connects.
Yes and no. Yes, you are correct, taking it, turning it into a business model, but I think one of my greatest qualities, if I had to choose just one, would be self-awareness. And the incredible CEO of Connects, Mr. Darren Math, he's really helped take what I think I was good at and make it better. And what I mean about like the self-awareness, I know that I am not good at knowing the structure of building an actual company, like the system that needs to go into place or the workflow that needs to take place. So I'm very good at putting together teams, finding what someone's talents are, aligning those talents to certain roles or positions, and then everyone having their role to help the whole organization move forward. Now, I've never done it as successfully as I feel that it's being done now, and it's because it's not me, it's us.
Okay.
And bringing on two partners like Sean Rosenfeld or Darren Mass, greatest blessing in the world, because they both possess qualities that I lack, and I possess qualities that they lack. And by us coming together as a team, I would much rather be part of something as a team than doing something on my own, because I know what it's like to not get to where you thought it was going to be on your own, and it sucks, but I can't imagine what it would be like to have tremendous success and not have anyone that's really, truly happy for you. And by aligning and having other people in your corner and doing it together, Darren said it day one, like our first conversation, we started brainstorming when I was looking to have him come be part of this. And he said, the greatest thing about partnerships is having someone to celebrate your victories with. And I said, I can't believe that you said that, because that's the thing that like brought us here. So I don't know what my point was, but I'm just going to end confidently, like I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, I was, you know, I'm sort of, you could say, almost brainstorming with you. I'm teasing something out. So it sounds like you've taken something you've developed from a very long time ago, and could have been before being a personal trainer, but I could see being a personal trainer, and I definitely get the strong sense of self. Right, not just physically, mentally also, and being a personal trainer, you really have to do both. You're not just dealing with someone's body, you know, the person's mind, their discipline, how they see themselves, all counts in personal training, you know, including diet. And so that's it's almost like you've transferred some skills several times in different industries. And you were going to say something?
Yeah. You know, here's the way I would break it down. I've said this to people before. I've said it on my podcast, and I've said it on other people's podcasts. I like to watch people's eyes when I say this, because it takes a second to process. I don't believe anyone in life should pursue their passions. I believe people should pursue their talents, and if their talent aligns with their passion, that's when you know that you've got gold. So if you think back to American Idol and round one people who everyone would just laugh together at how bad they were. I mean, come on, that for some people that was very funny. Let's laugh at the person who's really bad at singing. I always thought to myself, does that person not have a mother? Does that person not have a father? Does that person not have someone who cares about them to say, you're not good, you're going to embarrass yourself? Yet those people would say, but I love it, I'm so passionate about singing. I've seen so many people passionate about cooking go into the food service business and then close within a year. because they're passionate. So by being passionate, they create these unbelievable recipes using more ingredients than they need to, not knowing how to budget, over-ordering meat that goes bad, and now they have all this food waste. And at the end of the day, they're like, but I'm so passionate about cooking. Great. Read a cookbook. Cook for your family. Yippee. Someone who's going to be successful has a talent for knowing how to really price things out, budget, be very analytical to where they're looking at what items can be caused, how can they scale down a menu to have less items with greater profit margins. So if what I did was took my outgoing personality, taking my talent to keep people entertained and laughing and amused, I applied that to everything I do, whether it was training people. I knew that people weren't coming just to get fit. I knew that people were coming to exercise, but knowing that it was going to be fun when they were doing it, because we often talked about business, because many of my clients were business owners or people in working for themselves. And we would talk about business and how to market or advertise while we're working out. So I've been plotting this for a very long time. It's just the time became right and the plan was executed at this point. So talent and passion need to align. My passion is people. My talent is outgoingness. Bring those two together and you just have to find your own little guy, Sean Rosenfeld and Darren Mass. And then you have a combo that seems to be lights, because it was started a year and a half ago and now we're 163 members. So we would have added over 110, 115 people since the pandemic started, if it wasn't offering something of value and people feeling at home. Even on Zoom, we feel a hell of a lot closer on Zoom than most people do in the same room. We'll make that into a t-shirt.
Okay. So let me ask you, do you think virtual networking is the new normal for building your network?
Yeah, absolutely. People are not – well, let me ask. Did you get my – when I beeped you earlier, did you get my page?
I sent you a fax about an hour ago.
Did you get the fax I sent you an hour ago? I'm joking with you, Ted. Nobody uses a beeper or a fax machine anymore, because once evolution comes in and products and technology move forward, you don't go backwards. So when you look at the fact of how much more productive people can be instead of having to go meet in person, or instead of traditional networking groups meeting, let's say diners, why would I want to commute 30 minutes? Or if I'm in the city, why do I want to take a train, spend an hour getting to the city to get to my meeting on time, when I could just get into work a little bit later, log on from my computer, Zoom into a meeting, and then be done? So I think in-person is always great, wonderful, beneficial, but I think networking groups, organizations will make their initial introductions via Zoom, Teams, whatever program they're using. And then once the relationship is established, then I think people will meet in person for coffee, for drinks, for dinner, like that. But I think the days, some people are waiting to go back to how things were. At Connects, we're preparing for what's next, because there's no going back. I can use my line. There's a reason that your rearview mirror is much smaller than your front windshield, and that's because your attention should be looking forward with a clear view, and every now and then you look back in rearview mirror to just see what's behind you.
Right, right. And, you know, even more to your point, people can just sort of, I hate to say it, you know, this way, but they can roll over out of bed and be part of a networking meeting and not, as you said, have to do a long commute into the city. Or they can go into the office and network from there. And when the meeting is over, they're already in the office. So it's, you can have a seamless day. Or as you were saying in the beginning, your life and your personal life and business life has come and merged into one lane now. And you network from home on your computer, and then you go right to work with your 4-year-old running down the hall. So
yeah.
So there's a convenience there.
But, you know, I think it's better this way, and I think there's a lot of advantages. And, I mean, the most obvious one is the beauty of technology is that it's eliminated the need for geography. So for us to have members of Connect in seven states, like this morning's meeting, Arizona, California, Virginia, Florida, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, someone on a train going New York to Massachusetts, so we'll count that like in the middle. So like 7.5 states were all present on today's call, making connections, relationships, getting to know each other. And that to me is such a wild thing, because if there wasn't Zoom, I would be willing to bet out of 160 people, I probably would not have met more than 20, maybe 30, if this wasn't the way that we're operating now, just in a room. Because it's the same thing why internet dating and dating sites are so popular now and more popular than they were. You can cover more ground much faster. So I either had to be in a networking group in a back of a diner and hope someone was going to stumble in there, or hope everyone was going out to prospect. But where are people if they're not at their meeting? They're at their office. So unless someone from their office is coming in, it's not likely that you're meeting as many people. But why, while people are on Zoom right now, so many of our members go to so many other networking organizations, and that's the philosophy at Connects. We encourage people to belong to other, whereas other networking groups say if you belong to ours, you can't belong to any others. Well, that's stupid, because the whole idea is the bigger your community, the greater your opportunity. So we encourage people. And through Zoom, the more people that our members were meeting, they were saying, hey, you know what? You should come check out this meeting. And we have a pretty good turnover rate of guests coming and checking out a meeting and then saying, you know what? I love it. I want to be part of it. So I don't think it's going back. I think people are going to keep going.
Hey, Chris, how do you run your networking meetings? You were saying to Lori some of the things that distinguish them, but do you have guests? Like, how do you – you were speaking of a moderator earlier. So how do you structure your meetings?
All right, so this is different here. We open it up by – I just give the definition of how I define Connects. There's no official definition. I define it the way I do. And then I call a couple people and I say, Connects is something different to everyone. What is Connects to you? And someone might say, it's my group of friends. Someone might say, it's my business partners. Other people might say, it's my unpaid sales force. Everyone has a different meaning of Connects. So then I will have people interact with each other by using the chat. And I'll ask one-word answers. I'll ask a specific question that will require a specific answer. I'll then maybe have some questions sent over to Sean privately that no one reads the answers. We've had people admit to affairs. We've had people admit to filing for bankruptcy. We've had people admitting to wanting to leave a spouse. We've had people admitting to that it's very frustrating having a child with autism and not knowing how to parent them. Amazing deep things that eating disorders, suicidal thoughts,
I'm sorry, Chris, it sounds like you've infused the same level of intimacy that are, it's really what I was getting at when I was saying before, like you are this master of this universe in creating relationships and very intimate. And you Connect sounds like it is you. Like in an abstract way, you've built Connect inside of your own mind, and you've invited everyone inside of your mind in some way. And I'm saying this in a clumsy way,
you just hit the nail on the head with the in your head, because I constantly say in my head, here's what I see. So Ted, you know what? Brilliant observation. Kudos. That's really good. You are correct. It is in my head, but I have a vision of where I want to get to. I don't know how to get there. And the members of Connects and the energy and what they bring to it almost guide us forward to where, like, people just come to us because they go, I've been looking for something like this. So I'm not saying it's prophetic or anything. It's the fact there is a need for it, and I somehow tapped into it because I guess I needed it for myself, and it's just growing. So you're right.
So
it started in my mind.
Okay. So and we're about to run out of time. So can you tell me in 30 seconds where you would like to take it? Is that possible to do it in 30 seconds?
Where to take it?
You said it's in your mind, and you have a vision as to where you'd like to take it. And I'm asking you, what's your vision for where you'd like to take it?
Global domination. I plan in 3 years from now, we will be the largest networking organization of its kind in the entire country. We will attract people for not just business exchanges or referrals, but more importantly, for personal and business development. But it's a community, and it will be the biggest. We'll be the largest in the tri-state by next year, and in 3 years, the country. And we'll save this recording, and we can play it back at that point. But I have no doubt.
Perfect. So if people would like to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
GetConnects.com, GetConnex.com, or the My Mistakes podcast, My Mistakes spelled MISTAKEXX, just like Connects.
Any last words of wisdom you'd like to give people?
If anyone heard anything that they liked or resonated or wants to know more or how to do something or advice or suggestion, just reach out. Just ask. I promise I will get back to you and give you an answer.
So I assume you are as available as people have been for you. I forget, what is his name? Don Pablo or the company?
Yeah, his real name is Darren Burke, sponsor of the My Mistakes podcast as well.
Right. So I assume you afford the same courtesy as many have done for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect. Lori?
Yep.
You want to take us home?
Here.
Any closing thoughts?
No, I mean, I just have to say, you know, if you're looking to grow your business, Connects is definitely a great way to grow. Networking works if you work it. And thank you, Chris, so much for being a guest on our podcast and for helping others, you know, find their dream or find a way to get to their dream.
Thank you, Lori. And I value you so much and I appreciate you. So thank you.
And likewise. So, thank you, everyone. And we'll sign off saying next week's guest is also going to be amazing. So tune in next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Have a great night, everybody.
Chris,
Ted.
But wait, before Chris, thank you. Thank you for not only sharing your current vision, thank you for sharing your vision of the future. And I'm sure there are going to be some listeners who hear that and are really touched by that. And I look forward to hearing about people who connect with you because of this conversation. So thank you for being so open and sharing with us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ted.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Have a good evening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.